and you can work on memorizing that bit. And you can refer to it as well. All right. So Matthew 7 is where we are. There is a biblical principle that governs the universe. And that principle is this: what you sow is what you reap. And so that's the principle. If you plant corn, you get corn. If you plant weeds, you get weeds. And what's true in farming is true in life. Let's do that. Then it doesn't have to fall over. So what's true in farming is true in life. So if you invest your time in social media, you start thinking like the culture. If you invest your time in scripture, you start thinking biblically. What you sow is what you reap. You end up being what you where you invest your time. That's true in life. Well, what's true in farming is true in life, and what's true in life is true in eternal life. And so if you forgive, Jesus says you will be forgiven. If you don't forgive your brother his sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive you yours, he says in Matthew 6. That's the principle. Some people might call that principle simply justice. Matthew 7. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye and not notice the log in your own eye? And how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give to dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls to pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and tear you to pieces. Jesus begins with, judge not. Do not judge. That scripture, I think, is one of the most misused scriptures in all the Bible. Do not judge. Part of the reason it's misused is that the word judge has more than one meaning. And people confuse those meanings. That's true in Greek. That's also true in English. I bet that's true in Chinese too. As we go, we're going to talk about that in a minute. You can tell me if in China it's the same way, if the word has these same meanings. So that's part of the reason. The word has more than one meaning. Part of the reason is that we as humans want to hold on to our sin. And people use this verse as a weapon against others who might point out their sin. And so if you suggest someone might be wrong, often the response is, well, don't judge me. So, you know, the Christian man wants to marry an unbeliever. And if you challenge him, that's what he says. Who are you to judge me? Doesn't Jesus say, do not judge? Or you question someone's habit of watching sexually explicit material, And he comes back with, stop judging me, it's okay. Or if you suggest that homosexuality is sinful, the culture will say, you're being judgmental. Get the log out of your own eye. That's how this verse is often used. That's how it's misused. And it's misused that frequently. So don't go there. Just because somebody says something is wrong doesn't mean they're going against what Jesus is saying here. And so when Jesus is saying, don't judge, he's not saying, accept all beliefs and accept all practices. Jesus himself did not do that. He doesn't accept all beliefs and he doesn't accept all practices. Jesus rebukes the Pharisees, in fact, quite severely. And when he does so, that's a judgment. Paul rebukes Peter in Galatians. And when he does so, that's a judgment. When Jesus addresses the churches, the seven churches in Revelation, he actually has some pretty harsh things to say about many of those churches. And those are judgments. And so what does this mean then? I told you that the Greek word for judge has more than one meaning. So, and in English, it actually does too. It has some, much the same range of meaning as it does in Greek. And so, meaning number one, if you're in the context of a court, then obviously it has a court meaning. A judge who's determining guilt and innocence, and there's an official power that, you know, is making official decrees and so on. That's one meaning of this word in Greek and in English. Here the context isn't a court. That's not the meaning here. The second meaning, if the context is personal, then it can mean something like discern. You know, you judge between two options. You're trying to determine what's good and bad. We in English talk about using good judgment. We even use that word. And when we're saying that, it's actually a good meaning. And so Jesus is not saying, do not do this good thing. That doesn't make any sense. And so discernment between right and wrong is not what he's talking about when he says, don't judge. And yet that is a meaning of judge. And so that, and it's a normal meaning of judge in English and in Greek. And so it would be silly for Jesus to be saying that. Because Jesus himself, in this very context, later in verse 6, actually refers to people as dogs and pigs. That's a judgment. And so he's and elsewhere Jesus in John 7 says, judge with a right judgment. There judge means something different from what judge means here. And so obviously some judgments are right and good. And we should make them. And sometimes we need to confront people in their sin. And sometimes we need to rebuke them, as Jesus did frequently, as Paul did with Peter. And there's a time and a place for that. And for that. And when we do that, we're not necessarily violating the verses that Jesus is talking about here. It depends on our heart when we do it. You can rebuke in a way that violates Jesus here. Or you're not necessarily doing it. And that brings us to definition number three of judge. See, judge can refer to a negative meaning too. In English and in Greek. We use it this way in English. negatively. It refers to a judgmental heart. That is what Jesus is talking about here. He says, judge not, that you be not judged. He's talking about a heart that is judgmental against others. He's saying, don't have that kind of heart. That kind of judging is a heart attitude, and it is poison. It's a judgmental heart. This judging is quick to condemn and often very harsh. This judging assumes the worst in others, and it doesn't listen. It doesn't take the time to actually ask why you did what you did. It just assumes, I already know why you did what you did, and drives on from there. Some pictures of a judgmental heart. You ever read the comment section on blogs on the internet or articles on the internet? Just think of the kinds of comments that you come across when you're reading that. And you know how the people get nasty fast? And they make all kinds of assumptions that they actually don't know about the writer. And they're negative, and they call names, and you've seen it, right? That's what Jesus is talking against. Those guys who are writing those things are being judgmental. They have a judgmental heart. You can see it. It shines out in the comments on those blogs. Sometimes the irony of it is sometimes they may quote Jesus from a judgmental heart. I think of a movie character came to my mind immediately from Pride and Prejudice, Lady Catherine de Bourgh, if you know the story. Always looking down on everyone. Lady Catherine de Bourgh is a good picture of what Jesus is talking about against. I don't know if you know the story. If you don't, it wasn't a great picture. If you know the story, it nails it. A judgmental heart is arrogant. That's one of the problems with it. It's like this. Once upon a time, there was a woman who had a friend who spoke unkindly of her. And one day, that friend had to appear before a court, and the woman found out that her friend was going to appear before the court and went and took the judge, locked the judge up in a room, put the judge's robe on, and sat up there to judge the woman who was unkind toward her. And you say, that's ridiculous. You're right, it is. But that's exactly what people do when they have this judgmental heart over other people. We choose to condemn our brother or our sister. We take God's spot. See, that's God's job. That isn't our job. There was a man, his name was Colonel Tom Hemingway. He's a guy who worked out at a camp I used to work at in Colorado. And he was a Vietnam veteran in the Marines. And he told this story. He said, actually, I think I've shared this before. If I have, sorry. But what he said is, In the Marines, when we are in peacetime and we're training, and Captain Smith receives an order to move his unit to coordinates XYZ by 9 a.m. to rendezvous with us, and we're waiting for Captain Smith and his unit to show up, and it's not 9 a.m., it's now 9:30, and now it's 10 a.m., and we're wondering, what's that guy doing? Why is he, just a lazy man that can't get his unit to move? And he says, that's how we think. But he said, in Vietnam, if Captain Smith were given orders to meet us at coordinates XYZ at 9 a.m. To rendezvous with us, and we are waiting, and it's now 9:30, we don't think that way. Is he alive? That's how we're thinking. We think completely differently when we're in combat than we do when we're not in combat. When we're not in combat, we judge. When we're in combat, we're concerned for his life. Okay, guys, we're in combat. The Christian life is a war. And your brothers and your sisters, we know when they fall and when they struggle, understand there's a war going on. And give them the benefit of the doubt, because they have an enemy who's after them. And you could do the same thing. When we make ourselves judge over others, what we're doing is we are stealing from God his job. That's God's job. So, and you could say this. When Jesus says, judge not, what he's saying is, stop pretending to be God. He really is getting at that. Stop looking down on people. Let me ask you a question. What did you do to earn your salvation? Isn't it Christ who did the work? Didn't he go to the cross? Didn't he die for our sins? Didn't he shed his blood? Wasn't he raised from the dead? Isn't this where the power for salvation comes from? Didn't he save us and not we save ourselves? We're sinners, saved by grace through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what we are. When we remember that, it fights judgmentalism, because we realize we didn't do anything. But when people think that our works earn our way to God, that creates judgmentalism. Because now, well, I must have done something pretty good. I must be up here to be in favor with God, and these other people, they're down here. But when we realize we're down here too with the other people, God's been gracious to us. It's completely different in how we look at those other people. That's with Islam. Islam is a very judgmental religion. And it's because it's a works-based religion. Works-based thinking produces judgmentalism. It just does. Grace-based thinking fights judgmentalism. Because you don't really have anything to boast about. Where then is boasting? That's what Paul said in Romans 3, right? After he just presented the gospel by grace through faith. Where then is boasting? You can't boast. You can't think you're up here and they're down here, because you know that's not true. Now, Jesus is saying, judge not that you be that you not be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured against you. If we're going to condemn people, God is going to condemn us. That's what he's saying. When we face God, we will receive what we did. You sow what you reap what you sow. That's the principle. To me, that's motive enough to watch my heart. Because this is a heart issue, this judging. Judging is a heart issue. Now, having said that, there is a time to correct people. And even Jesus brings up a principle we need to listen to in correction. And it's verses 3 through 5. He says, why do you see the speck in your brother's eye and not notice the log in your own eye? And how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there's a log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Now notice, he's dealing with correction. The context is correction. You're going to help your brother clean up his act. I'm going to take the speck out of your eye. But Jesus is giving a principle in this, and it's, well, look in the mirror before you do it. He's not saying don't correct people. He's simply pointing out the importance of holiness in our lives. For when we do so. He says, first, take the log out of your own eye, and then, go ahead. You'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Guys, we cannot separate our life from our words. They go together. Everything is intertwined in life. And so, when we correct somebody else, our life should be clean. And our heart needs to be pure when that happens. Let me put it this way. Righteousness gives us capital for correcting. It really does. It's part of spiritual authority. Righteousness is part of spiritual authority. When we sin, we lose spiritual authority. When we live for earth, we lose spiritual authority. You've seen this. You've seen this in people. When I was in the Army, I was the executive officer under a commander for a company, and the commander he was my company commander. He committed fraud, and I, being the executive officer, I saw what he was doing, and he committed fraud to look good. And you know what? To everybody else, he looked really good. Except I saw what was going on. And I saw that this is a man who was nothing more than a walking dog and pony show. That's what this man was. There was no substance to the man. And he had authority over me as my commanding officer. And so he had, we'll call it, positional authority over me. But he had no spiritual authority whatsoever. He wasn't a man that I would listen to other than work-related things that I was forced to listen to him for work-related things. I had to obey him, but there was no spiritual authority in him at all. That's what sin does. When you see sin in people, you say, that's not a life I want to model. What that means is when pastors have affairs, they lose their spiritual authority. They may be in the position within the church, but they don't have any spiritual authority anymore. It goes away because your authority is tied to righteousness. Your authority comes from God. And when you violate God, you violate the source of your authority. It's not there anymore. When a young lady walks with God, she retains her spiritual authority. Maybe you've noticed people often in churches who have the most spiritual authority are not necessarily the people who are in the positions of authority. And that's for a reason. It's because those are different types of authority. Correcting another person, spiritual authority gives you capital to correct people. You lose that authority. Why should they listen to you? They're not going to respect you. If you have that authority, they're going to respect you. At least they're more likely to respect you. I won't say that will always happen. And so we have authority to correct when we walk with God. That's what Jesus is getting at here. We lose that authority when we sin. Now, having said that, I don't want you to think you have to be perfect before you're going to go correct somebody. If that's the case, nobody will ever correct anybody for anything because, you know, we sin. And so that's not what I'm saying. But there needs to be in our lives a genuine righteousness, a genuine seeking after God. Now, this parable that Jesus gives, why do you see the speck in your brother's eye and not notice the log in your own? That parable. It is meant for you and me. Jesus isn't saying the log is out there in American culture or Chinese culture. American culture is full of logs, and American culture doesn't see the logs that it has, and that's true. Except that's not the point of his sermon or his parable. He's not trying to get us to look at other people and how they have these logs in their eyes. Jesus says, why do you see the speck in your brother's eye and not notice the log in your own eye? And why do you say, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when you have a log in your own eye? First, take the log out of your eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. The pronouns are getting at you and me. Jesus is addressing people. That's what this parable is for, you and me. Now, if we listen to this parable and we start thinking of someone else, you know, that person, oh man, that person, I wish that person were here to hear this sermon. They really need to hear this parable. You know, my whoever it is in your life, I wish my mom, or I wish my roommate, or I wish my... Yeah. If that's what you're thinking, then we haven't heard this parable. Guys, Jesus isn't talking to your roommate, and he isn't talking to your parents, and he isn't talking to your husband or your wife. He isn't talking to anybody else except you, because that's the pronoun he's using. He's talking to you. And to me. And that's how we need to take this. And so, if I could put it this way, if we think this is a great message for some other person, I think we have a log in our eyes. We're the one with the log. Now, I'm going to close this way. I want you to think of two things. One is this. What is something, as God's been speaking through the Word, He's been saying to you, something you can do to be more gracious to people? That's really what judge not that you be not judged. That's the opposite of it. Be gracious to people. How can you be more gracious to others? And two, is there some issue in your life that needs to get cleaned up? God needs to work on. You know, take the log out of your own eye idea. Is there something like that that maybe God's been saying to you? I want you to just take a moment, think about those two questions. How can I be more gracious? Is there something that God wants me to clean up out of my life? And so just take a minute, think on those two. And then what we're going to do, just to close, I'm just going to ask you to pair up with somebody and pray. You can pray along the lines of those two questions I asked you. If you wish, you can pray for other things. If you wish to pray for something else, if you want to share something, feel free. And then afterwards, we'll gather and have lunch.